Perfect. Now I have your number. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
Well, hello, guys. Here we are in a crossover episode.
Crossover episode. That's my first crossover episode, I think. Leverage Podcast and St. Robert Day Game Podcast.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the topic that I have been covering a little bit on my podcast. And I've done an episode when I did a YouTube live with Tusk, and we chatted about this topic. And I think it's a topic that very many people who are exploring the dating world are interested. Of course, there are guys who come and they just say, yeah, give me all the chicks I can get, which is fine. I agree. That's kind of why I started. That's partially why I keep going and I'm not slowing down. But there are a lot of guys that come to this world and they say, well, I haven't been doing too good with dating. And yeah, I want to play around. I want to see what works. But the end goal is I want to actually hire a higher quality women. I want to start a relationship. I want to start something more serious than just fucking everything that moves. And I think we both agree that fucking everything that moves is very exciting and interesting, but it gets kind of like, you get tired. It's like travel. It's like you go to a new city and you're like, okay, it's cute, but whatever.
Yeah. Especially if you're fucking a ton of girls, but you feel like you're not fucking as high of quality as you can.
See. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So wait, how long have you been, I don't know how we call this industry or this lifestyle, this seduction lifestyle or living, because you have been in relationships for quite a while now. Wait, how long ago did your monogamous, lovely relationship with your lovely Ukrainian girlfriend started?
That started 14 months ago.
Oh, that's more than a year. How did you celebrate?
How did I celebrate?
Yeah. I mean, you had a one-year anniversary.
I got engaged.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, congrats, dude. That's fucking amazing. Thanks, man. That's fucking dope. That's really, really cool. Now your content is going to take some interesting turns. And how are you? How are you changing the way you work with people now that you are engaged? Or are you changing your content? Or were you already kind of moving into that direction? Content-wise.
Well, everything's the same as far as how I work with guys, you know, because they're kind of walking the same path. The only thing that's different is I guess I have a little bit more to share about when to get out of the game, when you could consider giving up the game, my journey as far as, you know, all the different relationships. I've tried every sort of relationship under the sun, you know, open relationships, closed relationships, swinging, orgies, sex parties, whatever you name it, I've tried it. And I've interviewed people on my podcast, porn stars, other sorts of crazy people that have tried kind of everything. And, you know, I think there's no right or wrong way. You got to find something that works for you and your partner. And I think like now the only thing that works with me and my partner is monogamy. And I've actually been really happy in that. And in the past, I've had great relationships that were open, and monogamy wouldn't have worked with that specific partner. So that anyone I think who says like this is the way to go or this is the only way is just, you know, like
everything. Yeah, take those blinders off, dude, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, that was kind of what the content was a few years back. It was you went and you read Selfish Gene and you had learned that there is only one way because that's what our genes say. Well, there is a reason why there are big discussions between, for example, Richard Dawkins, who wrote The Selfish Gene, and for example, he had crazy discussions with, who was the guy? He had his meditation app, Waking Up, Sam Harris. I think they had some serious discussions with Sam Harris. I didn't listen to them, but I could see them being in completely opposite camps and both being I think Sam Harris being a more rational dude in a way, like kind of open to discussion, open to discussing different opinions. I think it could be a quality discussion, which I kind of haven't ever listened to.
I've never heard of, what was the first book you mentioned?
Selfish Gene.
I've listened to a lot of Sam Harris stuff and done the Waking Up app and the 50-day course and all that stuff.
Oh, I do. I still do that for like a year or more in. I meditate with that almost every morning.
Yeah, it's great.
The only app that worked, man. Like nothing else worked. Like Headspace didn't work and whatever else was there. It didn't work. Waking Up was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's amazing. Anyone listening, grab that Waking Up app and do the 50. It used to be 50-day. Now it's 30-day, I think.
I have no idea.
Of course. But yeah, it's solid.
Rawr. You know what I mean.
But anyways, so my content hasn't changed so much. But yeah, still helping guys do whatever they want to do.
Exactly. That's what I kind of like about your approach. You are looking... you're talking about more topics than just, seven steps to get a chick in a bed. And I think there is so much more to explore. And with the quality of content in our industry in general, which is just ridiculously low, it's just the bar is so low that if you are not stupid, then your content is quality content. And, if you can post anything more than an infield where your game is worse than my average student's game, then like... you're already pretty fucking good. And you were
I've been getting a bunch of clients recently. A lot of them are referrals, but they specifically want to learn how to set up the kind of like Dan Bilzerian lifestyle that I was living before I got into my current relationship. So that's something I've been talking about a lot and helping guys kind of do. And that tends to be kind of an evolution I've seen for guys once they get good at day game and they want to kind of set up shop and in a certain location and maximize that. So definitely could, if we branch off and talk about that, we can talk about that. But what about you?
I think that's a whole fucking, such a wide, interesting, deep topic, because we have covered the party lifestyle, but I think what you're talking is even more interesting because that's about living in one place and then kind of building up that. So how exactly do you do that, especially if you don't want to set up a model house or anything like that and you would prefer to live on your own? Because I like my private space and I don't want anyone in my private space. I would never want to live that lifestyle. And But that's definitely a topic I would be interested in talking about, especially now that I am looking for a few places in the world where I want to spend 3 months each year. And if you think about taxes, you understand why I'm thinking like that and why I want to do that. And I did spend 3 months this year in Ukraine, and now I'm going to Colombia, and I want to go to some wonderful places in South America that almost no day gamers have ever been to. And actually, that's what I'm doing with my, if you're like touching upon a content a little bit, that's one thing I want to do. I have my video series that I will finish putting out soon with all the day game theory that guys ever fucking need to, like everything you need in a day game set, like everything is there explained in a super kind of concrete, packed, condensed version. And I thought, I don't want to do talking head videos anymore. And what I'm going to start doing, I'm going to start a vlog called Dating Off the Beaten Path.
That's cool.
Where I will go to places where like day gamers don't go. Like, you know, everyone goes to like Playa del Carmen or Medellin or Kiev or I don't know, like London or Warsaw, or Krakow. Like I'm going to go to places where people don't go. And most importantly, which is really interesting, this winter, I'm spending my winter in places where people don't speak English. I don't speak Spanish.
That's what I did last summer. I did the Eastern Ukraine road trip and went to places where day gamers didn't go. And it was amazing.
So, by the way, how did you do in terms of, you were still single back then, right?
Yeah, two summers ago. So summer of 2020.
Yeah. So how did you do there in terms of getting laid in eastern part of Ukraine, which is, eastern part was like, the crazy part, Western part, was the super traditional Christian part. Oh, right. Okay. So, okay. But yeah, how did you do? Were you like just in broad terms, were you getting good results there or?
Yeah. Well, I was only actually single for the first 2 weeks of that trip, because after 2 weeks, my now fiance joined us, and that's kind of how we got together. She was the videographer, photographer, like content manager. And once she showed up, and that was kind of my plan, was to have her come and then we would hook up. But the first 2 weeks were a lot of fun. And my buddy Igor, who I went with, he was single the whole time. And so I can talk about his results. He's very picky. But he did, you know, hook up with some really nice girls, and brought one of those girls with the last stop on our trip was Odessa. I think he met the one in Dnipro and then brought her to Odessa. She was cool. And then the first two trips, or the first 2 weeks, you know, we both did pretty well. Some notches on the bedpost for both of us. So it was
very nice.
Yeah, you know, like it was a cool experience because we were both very, like, you know, good at it, and we're on the same page, and we were only spending like 3 to 4 days in each city, so we didn't have a ton of time to really operate, but still worked out.
So what I hear is, in your voice, what I hear is it was nice, could have been even better if you had more time. Is kind of,
for sure.
I know what I mean. Yeah, Ukraine is kind of like that, like, but you can find plenty of adventurous and beautiful and crazy girls. And if you really know what you're doing, but you have to know, I call this like the price of entry. Let's say you go to a place like Poland, and we should soon get to the topic of relationships. But fine, catching up is a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. Especially for guys that have heard us before. I think it's an interesting. And the price of entry. So let's say you go to Poland or like Prague. The price of entry, or like the level of game you need to get laid there, is fairly low. Like, you don't need anything crazy. But let's say you go to a place like maybe Ukraine, maybe some places in South America, where the price of entry or the level of game necessary to get laid is pretty high. So most guys would go to these places with some of the hottest girls in the world, and they would go there and keep banging their head against the wall and not getting any results just because the price of entry is really high. But the thing is, once you're in,
right,
you're in like nowhere else in the world. I did in Ukraine better than I have been doing in almost any place in the world, apart from Riga, where I learned day game. But actually, I did, like, it was just crazy. But the bad thing about these places with lower price of entry is once you get there and you start getting results, well, the thing is, even if your game is much higher than the price of entry, from my experience and from what I've seen from other guys, it doesn't mean you get that, like, amazingly better, like, much better results. You kind of stay at, like, you get better results than someone else who has worse game, but you don't kind of get the hottest girls in a city. Whereas in places with high price of entry, like Ukraine and other places, if you're in, you're in. And that's just unbelievable, that the stuff that you can get done there is just beautiful.
Yeah, so that's a good way to put it. And it's true. It's like guys think they can come to Ukraine with no game and fuck hot chicks. Good luck.
Forget about it. Yeah. That's again, as we spoke before we started the recording, that's the reason why I don't talk about where I go, the cities where I go, because most guys, and this we can talk about this publicly, because we're not naming any cities, because most guys, unless they're really good, they will go to a city and they will not get any results. And not even that, but they will keep approaching and they get blowouts and bad results, and they will not be able to understand, is it because they're doing something wrong? Or is it because the city is just really hard for day game? And that can be very demoralizing and can kind of get you a little bit depressed and hate the city. Mm-hmm. So those guys would go to wonderful cities in Ukraine or in Belarus or many other places, even in Europe, and they would not get results. But what would happen is in these small, lovely cities with these amazingly nice girls who are so lovely, if you know what you're doing, they would see this crazy swarm of day gamers coming in and opening everything that moves and some of them being uncalibrated, and it would hurt the city. So I actually think the best day gamers I know don't talk too much about the cities where they go. They keep it to themselves, and if you are good and you travel and you've done your research, and if they think you're a cool guy, they will very happily share those cities with you. But they won't be posting it on YouTube. And I think it's just as we spoke before, that many guys who choose this lifestyle, who choose to take control of their dating life, they want to kind of separate themselves from the herd, stop living like the society told they should live, and stop kind of doing what everyone else is doing. But then they learn, then they join these day game communities, and they see, oh, like, I got to go to this city because that's where everyone goes, and everyone goes there. And they start following this other herd. And they're like, did anything change? No, it's a different herd. It's still right. A herd. So I think the beauty of day game, once you can get laid in all these standard cities that everyone knows about, the beauty becomes this pursuit of just finding new city, just exploring where could I go? And you go to a city that you know don't know anything about, and you find out which part of the city to stay so someone wouldn't stab you, and and it's so beautiful. But anyways, let's talk about what you mentioned before, which is a very important topic. When do you think it is okay to start thinking about chilling out, saying, okay, enough, left and right, left and right? So where do you think is that?
In terms of like getting into a relationship, or just in terms of like having less casual sex?
I don't know.
I think,
question.
Yeah, for me, I was kind of living that Dan Bilzerian type of lifestyle from, I would say, 2018 until, you know, mid 2020. So probably like 2 years about. And it was kind of towards like the tail end of that when I started experiencing less of a sort of like return on new girls I was hooking up with in terms of like happiness, right? Like, yes. I'd hook up with a new girl, she'd be hot, and I would be like just barely happier, versus 6 months before that, hook up with a new girl, she was really hot, I was like stoked, right? Yeah. So just like anything, you know, if you do something enough, it starts to lose its luster. You know, if you drive a Lamborghini and then a Ferrari and then a Bugatti and all that stuff, like after a while, it's just not that exciting driving sports cars anymore, right?
unless you fuck a robot. I wanted to say drive a Tesla.
There you go. So yeah, just like anything. And I wanted, you know, it could have been just my age. I'm 39 now, so this was when I was like just turning 38. I, you know, was just feeling like, you know, if I want to start a family or if I want to like chill out, I should probably, I kind of just started feeling like I wanted to do that more. And I had checked off everything on the sexual bucket list many times over. Like there was nothing else that I was like, ooh, I really want to do that. I did all that stuff. So I really just wanted to meet a cool girl. But a lot of guys come to me like, oh, I just want to meet a cool girl. So like, what do I do about that? I'm like, well, actually, if you want to meet your highest quality companion, you need to be at your highest quality level for yourself, right? If you want a 10, you need to be your version of a 10. And my version of a 10 for me is when I was in that sort of lifestyle that I mentioned, with, you know, just tons of access to girls, throwing events all the time, being the like hub of my social circle, and having people just, you know, wanting access of me. Because what would happen is I would throw an event and girls would bring their friends, And when those girls came, I was immediately like the coolest guy at the party because I was hosting the event, right? So you get so much social proof and value by hosting events. So that's what I tell guys. Like, if you want the most options, you should get to the point where you're hosting events and women will come to those events and you'll be the man at those events, right? But you can't just do that if you've never day gamed, or if you've never had a harem of girls, if you've never managed like to be successful with women, you can't skip to that part. Because what you'll see then is you'll see these rich losers trying to do this and they don't get laid because they're in the friend zone. They don't know how to talk to the girls. They don't know how to deal with sexual tension or flirt or do any of the necessary things that you learn when you day game, when you go on dates, when you build a harem. Like they never did that stuff. So now they're just the guy spending money trying to get laid and it's not working. So that was kind of like the point for me when I had just kind of, you know, done everything that I felt like I needed to do. I wasn't really getting the major, like, oh, this is awesome when I hooked up with a new girl. But I, you know, when I met my fiance, I was like, wow, this girl's fucking awesome. Like she had all the qualities that I wanted and she didn't have a lot of the qualities that I had dated in the past that I really didn't like. Cause when you're in that sort of party scene, you meet a lot of girls who just want to party and they might be hot and they might be fun and they might be awesome, but they're not the types that want to be in a relationship.
Yeah. And even if they do, like, are they the type you want to be in a relationship with? Like, I wouldn't want to be in a relationship with a chick like that.
Yeah. You can't trust them, or you never know when they're going to change their mind and just decide like, oh, this is boring, I'm just going to go do something else. So, you know, I really felt like I could transition out of that stage of my life and have like a more sort of chill day-to-day experience. And the cool thing is I still, because I'm coaching and I'm working with guys to do this, I still kind of get to be in that lifestyle through them. So it's kind of fun. I get to live vicariously. Oh, yeah. So, and I love talking about this stuff. Of course, it's like my passion. And I love helping guys to like cultivate that lifestyle, set up the parties, and do all the stuff that I used to do. It's just, I'm not, you know, fucking any of the girls at those events, which is, which is better for them. And you know, for me, like the being in a monogamous relationship, like, yeah, you don't have the excitement of the, like, you know, new pussy, of course. And it's like, that's no longer there, but because you're not hunting for that, there's a lot of extra time to do other shit. So yeah. I've gotten in much better shape. I've been doing a lot of the other things that I used to do kind of as like a younger guy before I got into game that I really love. Like I play ice hockey 2 or 3 days a week. I play tennis 2 or 3 days a week. Play a lot of chess. Like I love sports and now I have all this time to fucking do sports, which I love, which is probably boring for the guys listening. Cause that's, you know, but
well, listen, we're talking about moving from fucking into something more serious. So actually I think a lot of guys there will be guys that will not get what we're talking about, but this is for the guys that do get, and the ones that don't, they've clicked away from this podcast a long time ago.
Yeah.
Good point. We started talking about different cities in Ukraine and whatnot, and like,
right.
It was too boring for them to wait through the long boring intro. By the way, are you still in Kiev?
Yeah, I'm in Kiev, and my plan is, you know, we're going through the K-1 visa process to be able so she can come to the U.S. And what we'll probably do is spend like half the year there and half the year here moving forward.
So you're going to US for the winter.
Exactly. Okay. Cause I love Kiev. I have a lot of business here with my side business, which is real estate investing. And, you know, I love Ukraine. I love the lifestyle here. I just hate the winters. Like last winter I was in Mexico. And I'd prefer to be in the US, of course. But getting a Ukrainian girl a visa is basically impossible unless you marry her. So
Oh, that's what you, please don't say that's what you get in good engaged.
No. There were other
that
ways.
Would have been, so that would fuck up this episode so bad.
No, okay, but I also do get my Ukrainian residency, which is nice.
You get it, I think, don't you just have to, oh no, in Ukraine it was a bit different, right? But I'm thinking Serbia, where you just open a company and you're a resident, boom, like that.
Well, that's the same thing here. That's how I
have. Oh, you open a company and a resident?
Oh, that's easy. Basically. Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking into that and realized that Ukraine is so dirty, corruption-wise, that it's one place where I wouldn't want to kind of put any money in, because I was thinking about where do I want to live and what do I want to do, and Ukraine was on a list, but it's so dirty. I mean, police selling drugs, and everyone knows about it. It's just crazy. It's like next, like, I feel, in a way, safer in some places in Mexico than I did in Ukraine.
Really?
Unbelievable. I was shocked at the mess that was going on in Ukraine. But that being said, it is like the edge of Europe. It is a place that has so much potential that I think it's just the potential that they have is incredible. And they will either stay at the same level for like 20 more years, or they will catch up with Europe and become a pretty interesting country in maybe like 5 years' time.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm hoping the latter happens.
I'm hoping that too. I have some plans for Ukraine. So you said several things. One was that the guys would want to skip that part of learning the game. Even if you're not talking this Dan Bilzerian lifestyle, which you are, I think, the expert of. But if you're talking either that or starting a relationship, and they want to skip that learning day game part. And someone, I can hear already voices saying, yeah, but I met this really amazing girl from day game, and I just started day game and I met her. Like, why can't I have a relationship with her, Robbie? Why?
Well, you're probably going to end up in a relationship without sex. Where you're sleeping on the couch and hoping that, you know, she gives you the pussy on your birthday. You won't have the status or the frame to deal with, you know, her moods and her femininity. And she'll eventually cheat on you and leave you. That's why. Because you never developed yourself into, you know, the man you could be.
Truth bomb.
So ask me how. Well, I know.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Because that is a question many guys ask. And it's not because, and this is a misconception. This is, I publicly, openly say that the worst book to read if you want to be decent at game is Raul Automassi's book. Mm-hmm. I consider it the worst Rational book for day gamers. Yes, it's incredibly terrible. Because it has created this manosphere of women hating women because, oh, they're bitches trying to get something from me and snatch my frame. Right. Yeah. And that's kind of what happened because of the book. And the book itself is like, especially the beginning of a book is amazing. There are so many good points. But the one thing, they are never credited to where he got those ideas from. And they are all from different books. You read The Selfish Gene and many other books. All of those ideas are from different books. He just put them in one book and then added a chapter on the end saying, hate them. So I really hate the book. I am not like, I rarely talk bad about anyone's content, and he's so much more popular than I ever will be in my life with day game. And I'm glad for that, because I'm actually very happy to be a small player. I still get to coach who I want and where I want. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to deal with all the negativity and drama that comes with it. But why I'm saying this is because many guys hearing this, what you just described as the kind of the result of starting a relationship with the first amazing girl, they'll say, yeah, they're trying to control the frame and the government, if you get married, she gets half. The government is evil. It's all for the women. Fuck feminism. And I'm even sober during this stupid shit.
I like that rant.
and these guys, they believe that because they have read too much stuff online. In my group chat, we have exactly the same problem. We have a few guys whose problem is thinking that girls are always trying to get something from them. And then it's like, oh, this girl sent me this text and she's probably snatching the frame, but I'm just telling, dude, she sent you an amazing text. She initiated the conversation, asking questions about you. She likes you. And chicks are really amazing. It's just that we are very different. Like, men and women are very, very different. And our brains just work very, very differently. And the more you learn game, the more you, or I don't even like the term game, but the more, because, you know, I've removed some terms from my vocabulary intentionally. The more you learn about dating and the more women you game, and you have this in the beginning, it's like one-time deals because, well, you're probably shitty in bed once you start. Mm-hmm. And then you get regulars and you get better in bed, and you get better in having regulars, in spinning plates or however you want to call it. And you just develop understanding of, you learn that, oh, we're so different and they're not bad. They're just thinking differently. And our job as men is to simply understand how women think. And that's why I think it's super important to have that phase. Just what you said, you go through that phase of learning whether that's day game, whether that's night game, whether that is anything that guys like. Yeah, there's different. Like, I could never be a good night gamer. I'm a boring dude. And you have to go through whichever path you choose. You have to go through that. You have to get your kind of notches or whatever you want to get. Then once you understand that women are amazing and they're not trying to snatch your frame and yeah, that's when I think you can start thinking about something more. But all of this being said, I'm a idiot who has never been too successful in relationships. So everyone should take this with a very, 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 like,
well, you're smart to not,
of salt.
You're smart to not get into them though. You know, like, you know what you're looking for. And that's,
I'm actually looking for someone to travel with a little bit now. That would be pretty dope. Like, going somewhere for a month, and I'm going back to Mexico on I'm in Barcelona right now. Mm-hmm. And on 19th, I'm going to Mexico, and I'm actually meeting a girl, a lovely girl. I did actually a podcast with called What Girls Think About Day Game, where on that podcast we just got incredibly high and talked about game with the chick and recorded it. That's when we stopped talking with her. But and then she
high on what? Weed?
High on weed, yeah, definitely. Okay. On weed. That's I couldn't talk, have a quality conversation on anything else. You hear me on anything else, I'm just like, I'm just rambling. But And we had very nice time in Mexico together over extended period of time. And I'm super happy to actually go back and meet her again. And it's kind of like this warm feeling to know that, oh, we had such a great time together. And now I'm going back and I'm going to meet her. And it's, and yeah, I'm open to an experience where I travel with someone for a month just to see how it is. Preferably someone who is adventurous enough to join me on my day game adventures.
To help you meet other girls too?
Yeah. At least open to the idea of having some adventures in the world together.
I had a girlfriend like that. She actually started out, she was a friend of my business partner at the time when I had a business partner. And she came to stay with us to write our texting content, or not to, fashion content. She is like an image consultant and, you know, a bottle service waitress at a, you know, hoity-toity club in San Francisco. So she really understood like the whole dating scene and all that stuff. So she came down and we started hooking up, and I was very much in a, I don't want a girlfriend. I certainly don't want a monogamous girlfriend sort of stage. I just want to have threesomes. And she was like, I want to have threesomes too. So she became my threesome partner. And then that quickly, obviously, because she was living with us, transformed into a relationship. And then we became swingers and did a whole lot of traveling around and picking up other girls. And it was fantastic time. The trouble that I ran into was keeping it casual, right? Because, you know, if a girl likes you, as time goes on, the more time you spend together, the more jealousy is going to happen, the more that possessiveness is going to pop up. So if you were just, I would suggest, if you want to keep it casual with her, to, like, you know, maybe travel with her for a month and then don't see her for 2 months. And that time apart will be enough time to kind of reset things to the point where when you do see her, maybe 2 months or 3 months after that, you can kind of get back to that awesome energy that you had at the beginning of this trip coming up. But that's, yeah, you know, that's the part that I feel like takes a lot of discipline, because odds are, if that goes really well, she's going to be that much more in love with you, and it's going to be that much more difficult to keep that boundary.
Yeah, you know, for me, this idea about traveling with someone, it's sort of like a test drive. It's like, hey, like, would I want to hang out with her more? Like, let's see how much I hate her in a month.
Right.
let's see how much we hate her habits.
A lot can happen in a month, though, you know?
A lot can happen in a month, exactly. So you can get really annoyed by someone in a month, which is exactly what kind of this is. The idea is like, hey, let's see where this goes. And if it goes to shit, you can kind of like, okay, here's your flight. Right. Here's your ticket, fuck off. And because I did see that in Ukraine, there was one chick I saw for a while, and then at the end she just became super weird and super clingy, and well, it there was some reason for that, which included me going to a Ukrainian clinic after testing positive for some shit. And giving the shit to her, promising that I will not fuck other chicks without condom, and then she hears my story about how I was in Riga and gave that shit to fucking everyone in Riga. And you know, antibiotics are bad for your health, so she got really, really pissed. Probably because I lied about not fucking other. Like, I didn't want to tell how many chicks I fucked without a condom while I was there, and I learned my lesson. I'm very grateful, but the story is about, she became from really fucking cool and nice, and we went to Dnipro together and just kind of hanged out there. And at one point, she became like this thing I couldn't fucking stand anymore. Like, she became like hostile. Mm-hmm. And I think you can learn that about a person in a month, probably, and then see where that goes.
That's kind of an interesting thing to circle back to, though, is that I want to be the no condom girl conversation. I feel like that can be a slippery slope, because I used to indulge in like, okay, like it's kind of easy to just agree to it and then just don't tell her you didn't use a condom. but then you run into the potential problem that you ran into, of course. Towards the end of my like total slut phase, when girls would ask me that, I'd be like, well, I can't promise that, because one time I'm going to slip up and then I'm just going to keep lying about it. So nope, I will not be using a condom as often as possible. I can promise you that.
Yes,
and
yes.
I had girls say like, okay, then we're not going to sleep together anymore, or we'll use a condom for now. But then they never follow through.
So, yeah. I mean, even the chicks that tell that's the responsibility on using the condom is on the guy. The girls are just too feminine. They will say you have to use a condom the first time you fuck them, and they will forget it about it the second time you fuck them.
Yeah.
Always. Unless they are in medics. Like, doctors are pretty fucking smart about this thing. It's like, no, put it on. So about this period of learning game, day game, Bilzerian lifestyle, how do you think when a guy, is there a measurable kind of thing that you believe guys have to go through before they start thinking about something more serious? Or do you think it's a fluid thing?
Good question. I think it's fluid. I do think the one thing that a guy needs to experience before committing, or he should experience, is a lifestyle with sex on demand from multiple women, right? So have, even if it's a month or two, unless you're totally religious and this is just not your bag, which you wouldn't be listening to this podcast anyways, have an experience where you've got, you know, three girls that you could call at any time and have sex with, and enjoy that, or, you know, take that in, see how it feels. And most guys never experience that. They're always kind of thinking with their dick, because they're thinking, how am I going to get laid next? How am I going to eat? Right. And if you're in that sort of scarcity mindset, you don't fucking know what you want, because you're just worried about, how am I going to eat? Right. You're in survival mode when it comes to relationships.
And so then you fuck hippos.
Yeah.
Well, not hippos, but someone that, you know, I call those the long shower lays.
The what?
Long shower lays. It's when you sleep with a chick.
Yeah.
And then you take a long shower and contemplate your existence.
Ah. Piñata.
It definitely happens. Okay, so you think they should go through a period of having, yeah, I like that approach. I like to think about this in a like number of plays that the guys should get from game or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, for me at least, if someone asks me what's the minimum, I used to say, oh, you gotta get like 100 lays, like fuck that. I definitely don't say anything like that anymore. I believed in that. My beliefs have changed. I think 30 is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You get your 30 lays, I mean, you know how pussy works, so
yeah. Kind of
like you're good, like you can start about thinking about it. But an interesting question is, do you think there is an upper limit that's too much? And I believe you know the feeling that I'm talking about.
Yeah, so I was turning down sex when right before I got into my relationship, as a sort of almost like a meditation, you know, because I was like, there were a lot of girls that I knew I could fuck. And part of me wanted to just to get another notch, add another, you know, another check mark or another girl to the list. Right. But then I was like, I realized that fucking this girl would actually create both unhealthy things in my own head, right? Like, I'm the type of guy who, you know, has to fuck a girl every night. Like, it kind of got to the point where I needed to have a new girl in my bed every night. And, or not a new girl, but like a different girl. Or I needed to have a girl in my bed.
I know
every night.
Exactly. Otherwise, you're a piece of shit who can't get laid. And you're like, run this dating coaching business. How the fuck you aren't fucking someone every night?
Yeah, like it wasn't quite to that level.
No, dude. When I go to a new city and I can't get laid in a new city, oh my God, it's so tough. Like on my ego. And like right now I'm in Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, a few days in, I was like, okay, this city for day game sucks. Mm-hmm. Traffic, hotness, everything is there. Results, zero. But like, maybe it's because I'm not like, I'm this tall, bearded, tattooed, bald guy with light skin. And it might not be what people are into here. That's my only explanation. Maybe someone with a different complexity would work better. Mm-hmm. But it's so hard for the ego.
Right.
Anyways, I interrupted yours.
But yeah, I never had a lot of success in Barcelona either. But the, you know, yeah, I was kind of to that point where I felt like I something was missing if I didn't have a girl in my bed. And I also felt like that was sort of fucked up. And I was really enjoying sleeping alone. Like a couple times I slept alone. I was like, wow, this is really nice. You know, and a couple times I even jerked off and I was like, this is great. Because I went
better
through,
than
like,
chicks sometimes.
Yeah, I went through a really long period where I didn't watch porn and I didn't jerk off because I just didn't need to.
Yeah,
like I was just, you know, had the real thing as much as I wanted, anytime, any place, whatever. You know, I had like seven girls living with me, like one in one apartment and like four others in like a revolving the door of new ones coming in an apartment like down the street. So, you know, like I could just go to my other apartment and go in any one of those bedrooms and fuck the girls. Like it was that sort of setup, right? But I was like, no, I actually really like sleeping alone. And I don't know, I kind of felt like if I did sleep with a girl that I wasn't really into, it was having like a negative impact on my psyche. And also I started feeling bad because I was able to tell which girls would fall in love or which girls would get attached. I want to say fall in love because
which girls would get attached.
And I'm like, I know I can fuck this girl, but I also know she's going to get attached. And I know I'm not going to be interested in anything else than maybe like a fuck 3 months.
Oh, you little ethical motherfucker.
I just started feeling bad. And I was like, this, yeah. You know, it's gonna, what am I going to get out of this? I'm going to fuck her and that'll be good. But she's going to be like, you know, probably fucked up over me. And it's not worth it for me. Like it's better for both of us if I don't.
Yes. Yes. 100%. I agree. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there was some karma involved because for that exact girl, she's the one who introduced me to my fiance. Like that was the first kind of thought. I was like, you know, I could fuck this girl. She wants to fuck. I'm not going to want to fuck her many more times after that. She's going to get attached because she's young and I can just tell because we had been friends. So I'm not going to fuck her. And I'm, you know, thank God I didn't, because if I would have, then I would have never, you know, been with my girl. So, you know, I think that's something you can consider.
What I noticed is, when you keep seeing girls and you have new one, you've seen so many girls that you start recognizing, like, you see a chick for a while and then you realize, oh, like something definitely has happened to her in her life because something's wrong in this way. And then you see another one and you see, oh, like she's a bit like, I don't know, like, whatever you want to call it, this, like, because of something that happened, and then this girl. And I'm not talking about, like, and many guys would say, oh yeah, they can work some fucked up girls. Like, that's fucking bullshit. Like, and you would see all types, different types of girls, and you would see with all of them, after seeing them for a while, you would start seeing what's the story behind how they behave. And I started seeing everyone as this vehicles of emotional trauma and fucked up psyche.
Right.
And at that moment I realized it's not good anymore, because I started seeing it too easy, too much, even before sleeping with the girl. Like I could see it very fast. And it put me in this weird space where, like, are there normal people? Am I normal? Are you normal? Is anyone normal? And it's like, whoa, slow down, dude.
Is everyone a narcissist?
Yeah. Or just me.
Am I a narcissist? Am I an inverted narcissist? Is she bipolar? Does she have multiple personality disorder? Like, I went through an interesting phase where I was diagnosing like everyone I met with some sort of personality disorder while trying to diagnose myself, including like Asperger's and, you know, people on the spectrum of autism. And when you go down that rabbit hole, or when you start listening to podcasts or watching YouTubes on narcissists and inverted narcissists, it's pretty fascinating to get into all that psychology. And you realize that, like, the labels are usually just labels, you know, but kind of who you're hanging out with and what you're doing usually dictates, like, the people you're hanging around, dictates like the type of trauma people have or why they're in it. Like, I noticed that for me, like, the reason why I wanted to kind of live this damblerian lifestyle that I was doing was mainly just I had validation issues as like a fat chubby kid in junior high that wasn't getting laid. And I was like, I want to be the fucking man. And like all of this fucking work was kind of to prove to that chubby kid as a seventh grader who got rejected, like, you're not that loser sort of thing. And I think a lot of women too, in like the party scene, like the Burning Man scene, that, you know, that like want all this attention and want all this validation. It's probably, you know, you hear that story so often. It's just like, you know, I was not confident, or I had this thing happen to me as like a kid, and I'm spending all this time as an adult trying to make up for that or change that. And it's just kind of fascinating to look at those things and break it down from that angle. It allows you to relate to people better too. So
I a long time ago, like more than a year ago, I had Mark Zollo. You know Mark? Do you know him personally?
I don't think so.
The Naughty Nomad. Mm-mm. Oh, dude, I have to set you two up. Like, he's an amazing dude. He has the biggest male travel blog in the world.
Really?
If you have Googled city name girls, his blog came up.
Really? Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, the Naughty Nomad, like the biggest male travel blog.
Well, I've heard of Naughty Nomad. Okay.
Yeah, that's Mark Zollo. That's Mark Zollo. Okay. That's his kind of pen name is Mark Zollo. And he has several really interesting books about his crazy travels through Africa and Southeast Asia. That guy, they would, with friends, they would dress up. They wanted to do like dress up, and they couldn't decide between Mexicans and pirates. So they dressed up as Mexican pirates and went out to party like crazy in crazy dangerous countries, in war zones and places like that. In places where you don't go out, they went dressed like Mexican pirates and tried to fuck local chicks. There are stories of suicide bombers and some people tried to kidnap them, and it's just incredible stories. And I have this guy, I had him on my podcast like a year ago, Mark Zollo. We were talking about the same topic because he also had met a really cool girl and I think got engaged. And we also got to talk about, so how much is too much? And he kind of agreed that, yeah, after you get too many lays, you kind of start seeing that the world is a dark place. And for me, I think 100 lays was kind of the number where I started seeing the world differently. In darker undertones.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like if anyone wants to figure out how much is too much, then I would say like don't go over 100, like stop at 99.
I think, yeah, the other thing that it led me to, it led me heavily into like the party scene, the drug scene, those sort of, as you mentioned, darker realities of life. You know, like if you want to be consistently fucking girls, the easiest way to do that is in like the party scene and by using recreational drugs, coke, MDMA. And those girls are out to party. They're out to fuck. You have to have a really high level of game because the guys that are competing are like also the most like guys with the most game, like, you know, and very few pickup artists or anything like that. Like those guys never like get in there. You're talking like club promoters,
by the way, have you ever thought about day game as a skill? If there was a skill that serial killer could acquire, the number one skill would be become a good day gamer. Because you can get same delays.
There was a killer like that.
I think. That's crazy. Because I've literally thought, I coached students that were... they had their mental things. Let's put it like that. And I thought, damn, this guy like could legit be could become a serial killer. Like if he chose a different path in life, like easy. Like, he chose to become one of the best day gamers I know in the world. I think he's best. He doesn't talk, like no one knows about him. He doesn't coach, doesn't talk to any other day gamers. If he goes to a city and sees one day gamer, he leaves the city. He's like that. And that guy is my most successful student. Incredible game, unbelievable game. And I believe his game is better than almost like most coaches that I know, his game is better. In many ways, I really think he's better than me. Like I'm super proud as a teacher, as a coach. Like I see his results and like,
well, sometimes you get those people, like anyone who could be a serial killer, I would imagine, they have the ability to like hyper-focus and like execute on things. right? Like they're very detail oriented. This is just from my experience watching Dexter. Like that's my extent of serial killer knowledge, but it seems to be a pretty credible source. You know, they're extremely detail oriented. They're focus driven, and they, you know, they execute. So literally execute. that's probably why
this podcast
guy's so good. Yeah, talking about a bunch of crazy stuff there. But the one other thing I think too is to kind of remember like why you got into game in the first place, and maybe to think about like what was kind of that fantasy you had of an ideal life or an ideal relationship before you learned about game. And for me, I always had like the, you know, I was lucky enough to be raised with like, you know, parents that were together, no divorces in the family, and like an awesome, I had like an awesome childhood, you know, super lucky for that. And in the back of my mind, I always wanted to create that down the road for myself. But I just wanted to make sure that I did it with like, you know, whatever my dream girl or my, you know, whoever I felt like I deserved to get. And I guess as time went by and I got more into game and I got more into like the party scene and all that sort of stuff, I got so sucked into like, you know, hooking up and having these crazy wild sexual adventures that I kind of forgot about some of that stuff. But then as time went on, I was like, why am I doing any of this? Like, I didn't get into game to like have orgies, you know, like I got into game to like find an awesome chick. So am I really getting any happier from these orgies? And that's kind of when I started transitioning, I guess you could say. So that, yeah. I think that's a good question to ask yourself. Like, why'd you get into game? Are you chasing this thing that you only want because it's just like that next level? Or is it something you actually want to ask yourself that?
And ask yourself that question once you have shitload of plays and chicks you can call any time of the day. Yeah. Not before. That's a big mistake.
And I've seen it. I've seen it with almost every client is, you know, they learn the skill of approaching day game. They meet a girl, they get in a relationship, and then they quit. And then it's either 3 months later, 6 months later, a year later, they're like, fuck, why'd I do that? I'm like, yeah. I told you, you're going to do it. Don't do it. Like, you know, you haven't really learned the skill yet. You just, you know, you just got enough to get that. But like, and they go back. So if you're listening,
I agree with 100%, because that's kind of, that's the reason I got into game. I understood that the regular dating model, the regular views about dating aren't true. And I just said, well, this clearly doesn't work statistically. If you look at statistics about marriage and relationships, and the people that get divorced are the brave people that actually went through with it instead of stayed in a miserable relationship for the rest of their lives. And I said, well, this clearly doesn't work. I don't know what works, but I'm not the kind of person who is going to keep doing something that I know isn't working. I went on a journey to find, hey, like, let's see what works. Who the fuck knows? And that's kind of how I ended up doing what I do. And I keep exploring. I love to see that you have find your ways and kind of, that you, I kind of like seeing that other basically guys kind of are exploring similar topics, and I think it's a next level of this industry, is because there's the previous level was just like fuck everything that moves and end up being a crazy Nazi hating everyone, mm-hmm. Which yeah, I mean, yeah, I assume like let's not call names, but like there are many names that have went into some taken some dark paths and become very weird people. And I just think that's because the day game or seduction world in general was pretty, it was amazing. It worked, but it was an unhealthy environment. That's why so many people, when they quit game, some coaches that quit game, they don't want to be associated with game. They change their, they leave their pseudonym. I have been always open about my name. Like everyone kind of in my industry, at least everyone in my kind of circle in my community, they know my name. They know my surname. I've never had secrets about this. And that's why so many people, so many day gamers are not comfortable with having their face out during a podcast, during an interview, because they think they are part of this evil community, which if you have read too much online forums, then yeah, you are, because you gotta fuck bitches and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I would guess it comes down to, because I've also, you know, never gone by a pseudonym and been very public. And you said something earlier on the podcast about actually liking women and thinking they're awesome, which is what I've always felt like. And I can tell that you feel like that too. And I've never felt like the need to hide any of this stuff, or because like, I know that's how I feel. And I know that vibe or that message is going to be, that's going to come through, you know? And I've had women like, you know, find out that, you know, the guy that they're with was coached by me, but I've never had any backlash or anything bad happen from any woman finding out anything. Right. Cause that's the platform where I'm standing on. Like, this is good for women because it's making guys better for women. Right. And I think the guys who do have the secrecy, I think they have a lot of issues with not liking women, and wanting to kind of like get revenge on women or something like that is probably going on, I would guess.
Definitely. Well, you are the expert on Dan Bilzerian lifestyle. So my listeners listening to or watching this stuff or listening to this, where do they go to find some resources you have put out on maybe moving towards this lifestyle, especially guys who have some experience in game? Maybe you have some video that's on this topic, or maybe there is a podcast episode they should listen to, or some kind of sign up here and get this amazing PDF type of thing, or where should they go?
Well, if you go to my site, innerconfidence.com,
link in description, motherfuckers.
Yeah, exactly. You can find a lot of content on that. I mean, didn't we do a podcast on
that? We did how to set up party houses and or like something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was on my podcast. I have no idea what's the episode number, but if they search Robbie Kramer on my podcast, on my YouTube channel, Spotify or Apple Podcasts, they will find that episode. Definitely.
I want to actually, because I did a few episodes about that and I'm realizing I don't know where they are totally.
Can you send me the links? I'll put them in the description on my podcast.
Sure. Yeah. I did another one with Trip Kramer from Trip Advice and I should probably do another one too, but there's a bunch of different content out that I guess what I would, if someone really wants to do it, they should just, and they have the time, just kind of cherry pick the last like 20 or 30 podcasts on my show where I talk about some different topics about those things. So, okay. And likewise for you, for guys that are really interested in day game and they want to learn from Saint Robert, the day game priest himself. How did you get the Saint Robert thing, by the way?
So I used to go, so in Riga, there is this amazing craft beer bar where I would take all of my dates. And there was this church not far from, like one block away, like literally like 150 meters away. That's like 150 yard, feet, whatever, 50 meters away from the bar, it was this church. And on the dates, I would sometimes joke that, oh yeah, like I'm actually like a very nice guy. I'm a good church boy. Every Sunday I go to that yellow church. The church is yellow. And I go there and I confess my sins. I'm a real nice church boy. My friends call me Saint Robert. And it was a joke. And then I met Tom Torero. And Tom Torero, like he talked about I met him randomly on the street and we talked about my game. And he just said, dude, like, your results are incredible. You have to fucking coach. Like, you cannot not coach. And I needed to start a website. And, well, I called it saintrobert.blog. And but yeah, so the guys who want to learn day game, I would say the number one thing to get an idea about my approach to day game, and this is the stuff that I put out that the most loved stuff on my YouTube channel, is you go to my YouTube channel, Saint Robert Day Game, you go to playlists and you find a playlist called Learn Day Game Faster Using Structured Natural Approach, or just search on my channel Structured Natural Approach. It's a playlist where I explain the beginning of a set And once you watch that, you will understand why when you stop girls, they will want to leave, why they say they gotta go, they don't have time, why they blow you off. And you will understand perfectly why that's happening and what exactly you have to do in the beginning of a set to fix that. I think it's the best thing to do.
Yeah, that's super important. I'm gonna check that out too. I've never seen that. So.
Well, Robbie, it's been a pleasure. I love chatting with you. I think this has been the best chat we've had. And well, let's do another one when you are in US and I'll be somewhere in South America and we'll come up with another topic to talk about. And thanks for doing this double episode, this crossover.
Yeah, man.
See you soon.
It was super fun. I think we covered some good shit. So
we did.
I hope you guys like this. Leave a comment or do whatever the fuck you want to do and tell us we're ugly. Oh, by the way, I got a hair transplant. How does it look?
I thought that's why you are wearing a hat. I was pretty sure that's why you're wearing a hat.
Reveal. My it's going to start growing in soon. It's been like 3 months. So
okay. So how good is it going to be when it's ready?
It should be like totally full.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see. Yeah. If not, I'm just going to
I'm interested. Yeah, let's talk about it off the recording.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.